Our reading is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I have some problems with him, but I like this quote. He says, "A person will worship something. Have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will come out. That which dominates our imagination and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming." During a college semester where I was undeclared, I don't know if you all can imagine this, but I had entered college to excel at capitalism. I did not understand yet that when I thought I was going to be the best HR director ever, it did not mean that I would be advocating for the employees. I had not had the kind of upbringing where I understood that these things even existed. So I get to college and find out, oh, I don't actually want to be in the School of Mass Communications. So I gravitated toward philosophy classes, of course. Many of them were double credited as religious studies. This was funny to me back then because I was completely non-religious, unchurched, and definitely okay with that. But here's the thing. None of us are ever really non-religious because it's part of being human to search for answers to the bigger questions, and religions exist for these quests and explanations. The more classes I took in the humanities, the more I felt that maybe religion binds humans in ways previously unknown to me. For one thing, it does not matter what period of time one is studying, people had religious practices. For another thing, in every area of the whole world, people had religious practices. For some form of religion to exist in every geographical location on Earth through all of human history, well, I started to think that it might be the great unifier, the thing that binds us all as people. Even though we have different religions, we're all people. Feeling called to look at religion itself differently led me to go to a UU church, which led me to feel called to our ministry. If you give a kid a couch. So the first reason to go to church or a house of worship of some sort, I'm going to be using the word church. I mean any house of worship. The first reason to go to church or a house of worship of some sort is that you are human. The second reason is that it is historical. The third reason is to ponder the big questions together. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What happens when we die? Those are the big three. There's many more, and they can be dealt with at coffee hour. From 2001 to 2009, our association's president was the Reverend Bill Sinkford. His presidency was great in many ways, but my favorite thing he did was that he implored us to take back religious language from the far right. We UUs did not want to be associated in any way with religions that are misogynist or tyrannical or anti-queer. So in making sure that we were different, we accidentally threw away the baby with the bathwater. Being so careful to not mention God too much or use praisey words like praise or even the word worship, we lost some of the majesty of language. A good reason to attend a house of worship is that we can use words and think thoughts that feel strange outside of sacred space. From plain pine buildings to grand cathedrals, from a small room serving as a sangha to the largest synagogue, houses of the holy are inspiring. Do I feel like this church is a mighty fortress? Yeah, that's one of our hymns. I do. It's a mighty fortress against injustice and fascism that would wound bodies and souls. Do I think miracles happen? Yeah, we just sang about one. It was in the last line of the song. Do I think there's miracles in this modern time? I do. Back in the 90s into the 21st century, it was fun and it helped calm my anger to go toe-to-toe with people who used the Bible to speak against gay people or immigrants or whoever the target was. Once I completed seminary and began serving congregations, I realized that it was pointless to use scripture as proof of anything. Really, scripture from whatever tradition is poetry and history, and it will be understood differently by each reader or hearer. People will interpret it how they see life. George Lakoff taught us in Moral Politics that how we see God is how we will live our lives, how we will lean politically, and how we will raise kids. If your God is fiery and commands fear and obedience, you will be conservative and expect obedience from your offspring. If you see God as a loving parent, you will lean liberal and raise your kids so that their happiness is paramount. As Emerson pointed out in our reading, a person will worship something. We tend to go to church where they worship the same God as we do, or don't. Finding people to talk about God with can be tricky. Oh, but when a person is in church community, it is empowering for the individual and for the group. When we realize that not only is the coffee good, but the folks drinking it have similar worldviews, the community grows. In numbers, maybe. In depth, certainly. In 2017, hip-hop artist Macklemore put out the song Same Love. And it was hip-hop, and it was about queerness, and it was about religion. He included the lyrics, "If you preach hate at the service, those words are not anointed." It is good to be part of a religious community, to get to know people on a journey similar to yours, even if you're at different places. Somebody new to Buddhism might have a mentor for what happens during the meditation. A new Muslim convert will have so much help to discern the message for their life and how faith fits into it. As any of us are trying to figure out how religion fits into our lives, we might, rather than finding a way to fit it into our life, see that our life is formed by what we believe. Our paths are individual. Our communities are large with lots of diversity, as humans are. Within the same religion, like ours, each congregation will have its own flavor. Geography plays a part, so does the size and the history. When a person is discerning if they will become a regular attender, often it is because they find a friend or a group who has room for their views on the big questions of life, and they can provide new insights too. A great reason, what are we up to, like reason five or so, is to have companions for the hard parts of life. A group from the local synagogue, church, or mosque that has 10 people who show up for social witness, regardless of what the issue is, that makes a statement. Those 10 people, if they were just individuals who showed up, they might be easily dismissed. But now that they're a group and they're representing part of an even bigger group, you notice things can get done. James Luther Adams, premier UU theologian of the 20th century, said, "A faith that is not the sister of justice is bound to bring people to grief. It thwarts creation, a divinely given possibility. It robs them of their birthright of freedom in an open universe. It robs the community of the spiritual richness latent in its members. It reduces the person to a beast of burden, to slavish subversiveness, to a state, a church, or a party. a God made by human hands. Adam's words, added to my statement about all humans having the capacity for religion, is what I'm saying to you all this morning. There's reason to come to church, to Zoom to church, to always carry with you your church friends. We all have the right to freedom, and any true faith should be concerned with freedom and liberation, not with being slavish beasts of burdens devoted to a false god. Going to church in the U.S. has been all over the place in its wild swings. After World War II, membership exploded. In the 1990s, we all followed the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, fearing that church and religion was going the way of the dodo. All these people who had been like me, no church, nuns. It always interests me that people could actually think religion would ever die. Perhaps theirs or ours, perhaps the way people gather or practice, but religion will only end when humans do. Oh, but then in those wild swings, Christian nationalism grew. And so people are reacting. In the era of rising fascism, religions like ours and others who do not believe in theocratic government are seeing growth. Theocratic. I remember living near McLean, Virginia, in the McLean Bible Church, and when you go into the restroom, there is this painting, drawing of the U.S., and Jesus is on his knees with his hands on it, praying over. Okay, so Perry Bacon Jr. on November 27th in 2024 wrote an article for the Washington Post. It was called, "Don't Doom Scroll About Trump, Do These Five Things Instead." And number two on his list was, "Join a Unitarian Universalist congregation." He wrote, "If you're a part of a Christian, Muslim, Jewish, or other religious group that meets regularly and engages politically, skip this. But there is a growing number of Americans, particularly on the left, who are religiously unaffiliated and not regularly congregating with people who share their values. They should consider the Unitarian Universalists," going on with the article. "I recently started regularly attending a UU service in Louisville, Kentucky. It's much more political than the Christian churches I have previously been a member of. That turned me off at first. Since politics is essentially my job, I try, usually unsuccessfully, to avoid discussion of elections and governments in my off hours. And I was leery of a church whose openly liberal values would clearly turn off Trump supporters and therefore ensure a congregation that didn't include many Republicans. But before the election, church members engaged in politics in a practical way." Y'all remember last September, October? I do. "Encouraging congregants to go canvassing in opposition to a proposed constitutional amendment here to create a school vouchers program. It failed. So at least on Sundays, I was in a community of people working on a concrete, discrete local issue as opposed to nervously speculating about other things. Post-election, I was relieved to be in a space where we openly discussed shared values and ideals we felt had been rejected by America in electing Trump, such as support of immigrants and LGBTQ plus people." That's the end of his article. Now, I don't know if the author had read James Luther Adams yet, as many UUs eventually do, but his point of the article may as well have been written as a response paper to Adams. Step one, only have a church if social justice walks right alongside faith. And step two, when those people are together, use those mighty numbers to put good into the world. We're all saying the same thing. James Luther Adams, Macklemore, the journalists from the AP and Washington Post, Lakoff, Emerson, and me were all saying the same thing. Pick a group whose faith in action enriches your life, and then go. When our heart is in a holy place, we sing with other people. We are blessed with love and amazing grace. Y'all can't even imagine what a different way of talking that is for me than 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And I mean it, and I say it, and it's because this place emboldens me to feel those feelings. It's what I want for you. We are blessed with love and amazing grace, like meeting people and getting to know them on a level not experienced in most social groups, because now you're church friends. Houses of worship like ours feed us, and not just at coffee hour and potlucks. For those of us seeking the holy, may we find it here. For those seeking friendship, may we find it here. For those seeking a time and place to ponder life, may we find it here. To sing with others, to hear messages of love that are anointed, to be with the spirits of those who came before, to be bolstered in our resolve against injustice, encouraged to pray and act, to spend 1 hour a week thinking about something larger than yourself, to seek inspiration, to be the reason somebody else's face lights up when they come in, to revel in our glorious, exalted, imperfect humanity. We come to church in the best and worst moments, and we feel blessed with love and amazing grace.